We've been talking about prayer and how prayer is needed in order for us to certainly allow God's presence to be seen and felt in our lives. Now I want to begin transitioning a little bit to this second part of what I want to encourage you to do throughout the rest of this year, which is pray for God's power, the spiritual force awakening within our lives to continue to occur, but also to live life together. I want to encourage us to really branch out and understand what that means. And it all originates from the incarnation and some things that we're going to look at here this morning within this passage of Scripture. The passage and the sermon title this morning, Living Life Together, it all starts with a simple question, who is this? Who is this? It is found there in verse number 10. When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? It's a question that we all must answer at some point in our life. But I want to look at what Jesus said about who he was and his own identity. Jesus, he knew his identity. We are entering Jerusalem at this last week. The Passover feast is the backdrop of what is occurring in Jerusalem this Passion Week. The reason why he is going there, of course, is to die, but it's also part of the Passover meal, the Passover feast. You remember when that began with Israel in Egypt with the Old Testament and how they had to have a paschal lamb. Now, I know that you might not understand, is it a rascal lamb or a paschal lamb? I know all lambs are might be rascals, but I don't know. But at any rate, it's a paschal lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 through 6, you can just jot this down, specifically gives in the law what is supposed to happen with these lambs. I'm going to give it to you in a snapshot. This is what Exodus tells us in that very first Passover meal and what they were doing. On the 10th day of the month, they were to get, the people of Israel were to get an unblemished lamb. And they were to allow that lamb to live with the family for 4 days. To live with the family for 4 days. An unblemished lamb. On the 14th day of the month, or the fourth day the lamb has lived with the family was to sacrifice the lamb and spread its blood upon the doorposts. Now, as you remember reading from the Old Testament, as the plague of the death angel swept over Egypt, as it swept across Egypt, wherever the angel would come and recognize that paschal lamb's blood upon the doorposts, it would pass over that family. It would, essentially, that family was saved from the death of the death angel. Now, I want to look at what Jesus is doing here. In verse number 1, he says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples. Jesus knew his identity. He knew not only his identity, but he also knew what the prophecy about who he was and what he was to do. He understood it completely. It was the first day of the week, right here in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 1. It was the first day of the week and 4 days before the Passover celebration would occur. It was the 10th day of the month, and the Lamb of God rode into town. He would remain in Jerusalem for 4 days. Then he would be sacrificed, not just for Jerusalem, but for all who would believe. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew what he was doing. He was fulfilling the messianic prophecy. He was the heir to the ancient throne of his father, David. Yet his ancestry dates to before time. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You see, Jesus understood the backdrop of history. He understood that he was fulfilling a greater role here and fulfilling what the Old Testament sacrificial sacrificial system. He was perfecting it. We've talked about that before. But this idea of him becoming the Paschal Lamb that would live with the family, with Jerusalem for 4 days. And on that fourth day, he would be sacrificed for the sins, not just of Jerusalem, but for the sins of the world. He knew who he was, and he knew what he was doing, riding into Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month. Because it applied to the Old Testament scripture, in applying what the Paschal Lamb was about. The second thing I notice in verses 2 through 5, that Jesus, he comes to live life with people. You know, horses were for kings and warriors. That's what kings and warriors would ride into town on. But that's not what is happening here with Jesus. He's not riding into town on a horse as a warrior. Rather, he rides into town on a colt and a donkey. They were animals of the people. They were animals of common people. Jesus enters Jerusalem on a common animal of the people. In doing so, Jesus connects with the common people of Jerusalem. And not just with the common people of Jerusalem, he connects with the common people of our lives. If Jesus were to come to town today, he would not come in a Rolls Royce. He would not come in a Cadillac. What do you think he might enter town in? I know some of you saying he would enter in a Ford. Others a Chevrolet. I believe that he would want to connect with us today. Every ordinary day citizens, he would want to connect. He would not want to be that flashy person. If we were applying and we were living in the time in which Jesus would enter Jerusalem on that day, if we're looking at it, how would he enter our lives today? Yes, he is one day going to come back on a cloud. But I think Jesus connects with us at a human level today. It's not the pomp and the circumstance. It's where life really happens. Where life happens with me in the mire and the muck of life. That's where Jesus engages these people. Not on a horse, but on a common animal that common people understood. He is intentional. You know, he connects his incarnation with this final action in living life with people. At his birth, we have this great name, Emmanuel, God with us. Yet here, his actions are intentional. And it relates to his identity. He knows who he is, and he knows the ancient prophecy, and he connects both his identity and the ancient prophecy with living life with the people. We know when Jesus was born, this idea of Emmanuel, as I've just mentioned, yet he is much more than God with us. I submit to you that he's much more than God with us. In this moment of history, as we are reading in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, at this moment in history, and at this moment in our history, he is much more than God simply with us. In this moment in history, in Matthew 21, he rides upon a colt into Jerusalem. He is the Paschal Lamb of God, connecting with people, living with people, and dying for people. That's who my Jesus is. It's the same thing that he does today. It's not that he continues to die daily over and over again for our sins. He's done that once and for all. But he still wants to enter as the Paschal Lamb for us and allow us to recognize that he not only is God with us, but he is God connecting with us, living with us, and has died for us. I believe that this is the response to the question, Jesus' response. How would Jesus answer the question, who is this, in verse number 10? I believe that's how he was answering it, through the Old Testament prophecy and through the Old Testament sacrificial system. It was, I am coming to connect with you, to live life for you, to live life with you, and to die for you. That's what I believe Jesus was responding and how he was responding to the question. Yet there's the crowds. There are the crowds here in this passage of Scripture. If you look down in verses 8 and 9, in verse number 8, you see a phrase that says, most of the crowds. Then in verse 9, the crowds were shouting, Hosanna. Now, this idea of Hosanna, it is an idea of honor. But I want to walk you through what these people were hoping. As they are shouting Hosanna, it's more of a prayer. They hope Jesus was the anointed one from the house of David, of whom the prophets had spoken, and through whom they hoped all the messianic expectations, their messianic expectations, would be fulfilled. That's what they were hoping as they shouted, Hosanna. As he enters, they are expressing their hope by honoring Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. They laid down coats and they laid down fig branches or palm branches on the road for him to pass over as they yelled and shouted out, Hosanna, Hosanna, to him in the highest. They were hoping that he was the Son of God. They were hoping that he was the messianic expectation. They were hoping, yet they were not certain. They were not certain. If you look on in verse number 10, what does Jesus say about Jesus? What does Jerusalem say about Jesus? As we look there, as he entered Jerusalem, the entire city was stirred, saying, who is this? They were hoping, the crowds that were welcoming him were hoping that he was the long-expected Messiah that prophecy was speaking of. And then in verse 10, the rest of Jerusalem was stirred, certainly with everything that was going on, but they simply asked the question, who is this? Who is this man? What is the commotion about this man? Isn't that what the real question is? Who is this? Who is this man? It is the question of the ages. It is the question, the one question that you and I, that we must answer in life. We must answer who this man Jesus is. Not to you, but to me. You can't answer who he is for me. You have to answer who he is for yourself. Who is this man Jesus? It's not who does history say Jesus is. It's not who teachers and preachers like myself or mama, grandmama, daddy or granddaddy. It's not who these say who Jesus is. When it comes down and you take your last breath of life, what you will be reckoned with or what you will have to answer is this. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? I want you to look in verse number 11. Here we come with the crowds again. Jerusalem doesn't know who Jesus is. The crowds are hoping in who Jesus is. Jesus knows who he is, and he's backdropping his entrance along with the Old Testament sacrificial system and the Paschal Lamb. But I want you to look in verse number 11. Here's where we really come to the idea of what the crowds were believing. In verse number 11, the crowds say in response to the question, who is this? Look what they say. This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. And here it is. Did you get that? If there's anything that I would underline, that I would tell you to underline, it would be, who is this? That question, and then that statement in verse number 11. This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. There is a statement that reveals belief. It is a statement that reveals belief. It is a soul-revealing belief of what the crowds thought about Jesus. You know, I remember in seeing this phrase attached to Jesus' name, prophet. Yeah, that is a good phrase, but it's that other phrase that really reveals their belief. You know, that phrase from Nazareth of Galilee, it brings back to my mind, first in John chapter 1, verses 43 through 46. I remember such a phrase being utilized when Philip meets the Lord. Philip meets the Lord and the Lord tells him, follow me. What's the next thing that Philip does? Philip goes and he finds Nathanael. And he tells Nathanael, we have found he who Moses spoke of. That's who we have. We have found that person. He is Jesus from Nazareth, son of Joseph. Philip was excited. He truly was. But when Nathanael heard from Nazareth, what did he say? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And that is the revealing question. You know, they hoped that he was a prophet, yet they were uncertain because he was from Nazareth. And this same idea that Nathanael had, it comes through in what the crowds are saying and what they are believing about Jesus. They're hoping that he is a prophet. They are hoping that he is the Son of God, but they're really not sure. And it only makes sense because, after all, this is the same crowd who yelled, Hosanna, Hosanna, at the beginning of the week. It's the same crowd that would yell, Crucify, crucify, crucify him 4 days later. How can people change their minds? Their minds never was established. Their belief never was established. They were hoping, yet they were uncertain. You know, that phrase, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That is the phrase. It is a phrase revealing skepticism and uncertainty. You know, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, some had an idea of who he was. Most of the crowd hoped he was the Messiah, the heir to the throne of David, the Son of God. Yet with this phrase, they reveal their thoughts. Their hope is seen in their statements of Hosanna, yet their skepticism is seen in the phrase from Nazareth of Galilee. Their hopeful skepticism is the only way to understand how they can yell Hosanna, yet 4 days later crucify him. As we come and we get an invitation ready this morning, I want to ask, over this Passion Week, I wonder if you may have a hopeful skepticism about Jesus, his identity. I wonder if you might hope that Jesus is the Messiah. I wonder if you might hope that Jesus is the Son of God. I wonder if you might hope that Jesus did, in fact, rise from the grave. I wonder if you might hope, but are as unsure as the crowds were on the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. You have heard many arguments concerning Jesus from other people, but have you heard what Jesus said about himself? Have you entertained what Scripture says about who Jesus is? At the end of your life, it really doesn't matter what I think or what others think. What will matter is what you think about who Jesus is. My hope and prayer is that you will see Him as I do, the Paschal Lamb of God, who entered the world in Jerusalem to connect with people, to live with people, to reach down into the depths where they were amidst in the middle of their sin, and to bring them up, to save them from their sins. My prayer is that if you may have some hopeful skepticism, my prayer is that skepticism might be transformed into a certainty of who Jesus is. I don't know where you are today, but I certainly hope that over the next week, you'll begin to understand just who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. And He not only is God with us, He is God living for us, living with us, dying for us, so that we might live with Him, beginning now and reaching into eternity. That's who I say this Jesus is. But my question is, who do you say this man Jesus is?